Hey everybody, welcome to Creepy Club. My name is Rissa.
I'm Heidi.
And this is where we talk about true crime and ghosts and aliens and psychics and limbs and
creepers.
I sound like I'm, you know, those t-shirts that people have that have like lists on them and it says blank and blank and blank.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like I'm making that t-shirt for us.
So, yeah, we talk about, yeah, true creepers. Last episode was Major Creeper,
oh,
Lauren
my
Cobb.
God, yeah.
He was so gross.
So gross. Uh-huh. But yeah, this might be a pretty short and sweet one because Heidi is sick. I am exhausted and it's freaking cold down here.
Yeah, and apparently we're getting more of this winter BS this weekend.
Yeah.
So it turns out that last week was not some sort of fluke sudden illness.
Oh,
I
right.
was just getting sick.
Yeah.
And I did a virtual doctor visit because I was so busy at work I didn't have time to go to my actual doctor. Have you heard of such a thing?
No. I just know about looking up all of your symptoms on WebMD and it telling you that you have cancer.
Yeah, I'm forbidden from doing that. Because all my hypochondriac tendencies rise to the surface.
Oh, yeah. Same.
So I'm not allowed to do that mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. I have acquired this very husky voice,
mm-hmm.
which we'll see in between the coughing. We'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
So I thought I was feeling better Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and then I was wrong. Like, I drank a bunch of water and took some Tylenol or ibuprofen. I was like, okay, I think I'm feeling better. And my friend Dawn, Monkey Dawn,
mm-hmm.
and Andrew.
We're just going to call her Monkey Dawn.
Monkey Dawn. That's so not. And how about Ariel Dawn? That's better.
Oh, Ariel as in like A-E. R-I-A-L.
Yeah, because she does yeah. aerial arts.
Right, right. That's I was thinking like aerial, like a little mermaid.
She's not a monkey. She has the weird monkey painting at her house
right.
that we did that episode right. of. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with a chimpanzee.
Right.
Which we learned. So chimp.
Wait, no, she has a painting of a chimpanzee, not a monkey. But we called it a monkey a whole bunch. So it's fine. Let's move on.
Okay. Anyway, she messaged me because we had plans. And was like, hey, are you still coming over? And by plans, the plans were to sit in our pajamas
mm-hmm.
under her weighted blanket.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. And, excuse me, basically, I don't know, just shoot the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. We're no agenda sort of people. And so I was like, it's funny you just messaged me because I was sitting in the parking lot of Menards assessing my wellness. And I think I may have overshot the mark, mm-hmm. like thinking I felt better.
Yeah.
Just, I was going to get hats for street outreach
because
mm-hmm. they had them for like $1 a piece.
Oh.
And that's a really big store for
it
starters.
Is. Yeah.
And then I had an employee sass me and I was ew. Like, ew. I said, if you were an alarm clock, where would you be? Because it's a huge store.
Yeah.
And he said, two aisles over. Well, I was at the intersection of many aisles, so that could have been in a whole bunch of different directions.
Yeah.
And so I just looked at him, and I said, could you perhaps be a little more specific? Anyway, I was starting to feel my patience level dip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't think I'm better yet. I think I just need to go to bed. I slept for 15 hours.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
I woke up like a couple times to go to the bathroom and that was it. And
yeah.
I pretty much stayed that way. And then Monday, the water main in front of our offices busted.
Oh no.
So we had no running water at the office and I had to work from home, which
That's
was
crazy.
Perfect, because I still felt like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so it all totally worked out. No, Monday I'm a liar. Monday I had the day off, which turned into a sick day. Tuesday, the water main broke. So I ended up having two extra days.
Like a four-day weekend.
Yeah, I ended up having a four-day weekend, which was good because apparently I was getting really sick and didn't know it. But so I ended up doing a virtual doctor visit, which is literally, it's a real thing, and you download an app on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And you go to a virtual waiting room, and then you video conference a doctor.
That sounds like all of my dreams coming true.
It's very futuristic.
Uh-huh. Do you get to, like, pick your doctor?
Yeah, there's a list of doctors who are available to evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you just get, like, their picture and their credentials. It doesn't... It was an app, I guess, sponsored by my health insurance, and I have, like, legit big company health insurance,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I selected someone who looked like they weren't insane. I mean,
were there doctors that looked insane?
Some of them looked more sane than others.
Yeah.
But then when, so you're in this virtual waiting room, and then it says it's connecting you to the doctor, and I've done this once before. Theoretically, you should get a picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got a gray screen. Like,
oh,
he was purposely not showing his face or something. Like, it was just like aimed at a gray backdrop or something.
Uh-huh. Weird.
And I said, I can't see you. He said, well, I can see you. What's going on? I thought, I'm desperate. Whatever.
Yeah.
I just need some antibiotics.
Yeah.
And then we kind of had a fight about whether or not I should go to urgent care.
Oh, shit.
And I said, I just really can't. My mm-hmm. I have work today, class tonight, work tomorrow. Tomorrow night is the soonest that I could go, and I feel terrible. And he's like, I don't think you should go to school. And I was like, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to school. And I have to go to work tomorrow. Yeah. So are you going to help me out or not?
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, so I strong-armed him a little bit.
Right.
But, anyway, I got the antibiotics I needed. I'm definitely feeling better, but I still That's have good. This, like, I feel like I should take advantage of my husky, occasionally squeaky voice in some way. I told one of my coworkers, I was like, I kind of feel, in my head, I sound very Stevie Nicks. Like, maybe I should try a little singing.
Like, like being a lounge singer?
Yeah, in an alternate universe, I imagine myself being a, like, smoky bar jazz singer.
Yeah, exactly.
In, like, a, you know, tight red velvet dress.
Yeah.
Where everyone's just can't take their eyes off of me. Total admiration. And I'm making people swoon with my beautiful husky voice.
Yeah.
Versus real life, where I'm just like, I'm an okay singer. Nobody's going to pay me. That's for sure. And some people might just ask me to stop.
Oh.
So definitely alternate universe. Not the worst, not the best.
Yeah.
And my hearing's not super great, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some days are better than others with the singing. But anyway, my coworker was like, I think that you sound great, but I don't think it's going to stay. I'll be I'm really curious to see what it's going to sound like, though, because you know how when you hear yourself in your head.
Right.
And then when different. You hear it,
mm-hmm.
like, on when I'm taking my turns editing, mm-hmm. someday when we're rich podcasters, or when our wealthy benefactor gets us tickets to that haunted conference,
right?
So we can go to the prom together,
mm-hmm.
and then also gives us money to hire someone to edit all our audio,
right?
Then I won't have to do that anymore.
Yeah,
but until then,
yeah. So everybody, start reviewing our podcast on iTunes.
Right.
So we can get there someday, please.
Just to be clear, though, it can't be like sugar daddy, sugar mama situation.
Right. We've put out plenty of content for you for free.
We're not going to put out
We're not going to put
out any other kind of way.
Any other kind of content.
I don't touch strangers.
Right.
Like, I'll give free hugs. Yeah. I will hug a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
If the need or the occasion arises, it's not even a need.
Right.
One time I was in Tower Grove Park. I'm also on a lot of cold medicine. My husband told me he asked me if I would got steroids because in his words, I get methy on steroids.
Oh my God. I don't think that you seem any more methy than usual.
I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to take that. I'm not sure if that's that feels a little bit a backhanded compliment, but we're going to assume good intent today.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I'm feeling like the audio is kind of weird today. So I apologize if it sounds different to you guys. Hopefully it won't, but it sounds weird to me right now and I can't figure it out because I'm not an audiologist.
No, but if that wealthy benefactor comes along, then we can get one.
Yeah, and in order for that wealthy benefactor to find us, you guys got to rate us on iTunes. If you want more of this awesome free content. The
sweet goodness.
Yeah, and if you, we could do this as a job, and that would be amazing. You just got to review us on iTunes. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I was checking out, so the building I work in also has this radio station. They have some pretty sweet equipment.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So the building that I work in also has a radio station, KTRS. It's like a AM station.
Oh.
And
we should just barge in and take over a show. Does anybody listen to AM?
I don't know. I mean, I guess people do cuz they look like they have pretty sweet setup. Like all their studios have like windows out into it's at Westport Plaza, and their windows just look out into like the foyer or whatever you would call it. And today I was dropping off some costumes and I'm walking back towards the radio station and I look up and I'm like, the person looks really familiar. And it was, do you watch Orange is the New Black?
I do.
You know Boo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Boo was giving an interview. I think her name is Lee Delaria.
Shut your mouth. I love her.
She's from St. Louis. And she's singing jazz concerts this weekend.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I love her. She's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, me too. And if I wasn't
exhausted
from this week, I probably would try to go see her because I love her. But I don't think I can leave the house.
If Boo wanted to be our wealthy benefactor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might put out a little.
I think she would like us.
I feel like we could be friends.
Yeah.
I don't think she would expect it either.
Yeah, everybody tweet at Lee Delaria. I don't even know how to say her name. Maybe
we could probably Google that or something. Yeah. Anyway, Boo from Orange is the New Black. She's totally badass. I did not know she was from here.
Yeah.
I hope she gets a star on the Walk of Fame in the Del Mar Loop.
Yeah, me too.
Because she totally has earned it. And mm-hmm. She's super funny. And she's a real snappy dresser when she's not on.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah, she's totally got
mm-hmm.
like mad skills in the wardrobe department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Shall we do some creepy corrections, conclusions, and clarifications?
Yeah, there's no, I haven't had an opportunity to listen to the episode, so. I may, other than when I edited it,
mm-hmm.
I'm on a lot of medication right
that
now.
That word is really hard.
There's
even
a
when
lot
you're
of
not on medication.
Enunciation required.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, say this word for me. B-U-T-T-O-N.
Button?
Is that how you really say it, though?
No, I say button.
Yeah, so do I. And it sounds funny if people pronounce all the T's.
I have to, whenever people spell words to me, I have to picture it in order
I
to know what
you
the word
closed
is.
Your
I
eyes.
Closed my eyes.
There's total visualization. Yeah, I'll say the buttons on my shirt, but it sounds more like D's than T's.
Oh, buttons.
Yeah, if somebody says buttons, it sounds a little uptight.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a little overly formal. Anyway, more of a confirmation. I guess we had discussed
oh right
trafficking and whether or not just taking those photographs was trafficking. And I think that, I mean, he did have trafficking charges against him. The specifics of those charges weren't revealed in the articles, like exactly which disgusting thing he did equaled this charge.
Yeah.
However, I'm not a lawyerologist or a legalologist or a courtologist. However, from what I surmised from the legal definition, basically any of the things that he did would qualify, because if you are, they were all minors for starters, so they don't, they can't consent, right?
Yeah.
Because they're all underage.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coercing them through the use of like grooming and also with sometimes veiled or very direct threats of, well, you won't have a place to live if you don't do this. So there was always that kind of lingering threat in the background. And my suspicion is some of the photographs that were taken that they didn't know about were probably either sold or traded with some other perv.
Sure.
So I think it doesn't really matter which thing it was. I think that they're probably, which charges they'll get to stick is a different story.
Yeah.
Because you have to, it's sometimes the legal system is so frustrating. Have you ever sat on a jury?
Yes.
Yeah, it's something. Mm-hmm. It's really, it can be a really frustrating process because you're like, that son of a bitch is so guilty.
Yeah.
But they got out of it because
some you minor couldn't technicality.
Check one box.
Yeah.
And, you know, ideally this keeps the legal system fair, but somebody slimy uses it to their advantage, right?
Yeah, totally.
Or there's just things that you you highly suspect, but you can't prove.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so anyway, he's a real slime ball, and we'll find out more in April, and I just haven't had time because I started a new round of classes because I'm insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I apparently don't know how to stop going to school.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I swore off school when I finished my master's degree.
Did you really?
That's funny. Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing that anymore.
I think I did that after my bachelor's degree.
But you stuck to it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I swore off school when I finished my bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a master's and I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that anymore.
Right.
I don't ever want to sit in a classroom ever again unless I'm the teacher, which I did for a while.
Right.
And various things.
I never want to do that again.
I mean, I proctored exams. I taught classes. I did stuff like that. And I still teach art classes sometimes, but I was like, yeah, I don't ever want to be like a committed student again. And then here I am. And then I signed up for it again. So I don't know. Something's a little, I got a screw loose or so. I don't know how to quit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to better yourself.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to better myself. I think it becomes like an addiction of sorts.
Yeah, like almost like masochistic.
Well, it's like when you get a tattoo and then you have to get two tattoos.
Yeah.
This is how people end up with like two PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, now what?
Right.
Yeah, you don't know how to quit.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes you have to keep going because student loans, if you're not in school, then you have to pay.
Right.
So the only way to keep the man away is to keep the man off your back is to stay in school. But the school I'm doing now doesn't. That's not, student loans don't give a crap about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care about that because it's not a traditional school. But
yeah.
Anyway, I'll be smarter maybe in a different kind of way. We'll find out. Okay. It'll be a surprise, or we'll find out how not smart I am. It's going to be a surprise.
All right. Sounds good.
But I had my first class last night, and it was super interesting. So this time I'm taking web development classes, but don't think that means that our website's going to suddenly be awesome. Maybe when I'm done and I know what I'm doing more, but presently all I can do is enter a few things at the command line. Anyway, so more of a clarification rather than a I'm going to blame all of my misspoken words today on that no-name cold and flu medicine that I took. It was like the plain yellow box with cold and flu on the front. And I think it was expired.
Oh.
But not by like a lot, like in December.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's not going to kill you.
No. If whatever was wrong with me Friday night didn't kill me, that's not going to do it.
Right.
So, anywho, what are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about some celebrity ghosts.
What?
Yeah. It'll be kind of fun.
Okay.
So, I have a bunch of different little stories about a bunch of different celebrities who are now ghosts. Do you want to guess which ones?
Huh. Okay. Lucille Ball.
No, I did read a small story about her ghost, but it wasn't very interesting or very convincing. So I was like,
I feel like she's just such a ham.
Yeah.
Like she wouldn't be able to let go.
Yeah, I think she supposedly haunts her former residence, but I think whatever story I read about it was just like not very convincing to me.
Okay. Well, Elvis is surely on the list. Yeah,
totally. I have the most information about his ghost.
Michael Jackson?
No, I haven't read anything about Michael Jackson's ghost.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Prince?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
No, I think they're too new, right?
I mean, I don't know. Don't you go into, like, ghost immediately?
I don't know.
Like, you're dead, then you're a ghost?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I guess maybe it just takes time for things to get around. Okay. Right. I'm going to guess two more, and then I'm going to just let you tell me. Okay. How about, Willie Nelson, even though he's not dead yet?
No. Why? Does he have a ghost?
What was that thing your friend was saying where you could fracture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like his fractured ghost would be really stoned in a corner.
Oh, yeah.
Just like teenage just Willie.
Just any
He'd be like on ever. A beanbag, smoking a joint.
Nope, that's not what okay. I'm going to talk about today.
All right, last guess. I'm going to say JFK.
Nope. All Close.
Right. Ooh, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Let's.
I was like, there has to be like a president or something in here.
Yeah. Let's talk about Marilyn first. So, okay. Marilyn Monroe, before she died, before she was even famous, she lived in the Roosevelt Hotel for about 2 years.
Like a flop house or a nice place?
That's a good question. I think now it's a nice place.
Well. Yeah, now. But, like, we have the Mark Twain Hotel downtown, which is totally a flop house.
I don't know.
FYI, if you're coming to visit in St. Louis, you can probably find some really great rates at the Mark Twain Hotel, but you do not actually want to stay there.
So, Marilyn Monroe died of a barbiturate overdose in her L.A. home at age 36 in 1962.
Or was possibly poisoned.
Yeah, it was ruled a suicide, but rumored to be a murder. So she supposedly haunts the room in the Roosevelt Hotel where she lived. The mirror that was in her room, it's no longer in the room. It's in an office now. And it's said that she will appear in the room, in the mirror.
Like Bloody Mary style?
Yeah.
So was it, I'm not an expert on pop culture anything.
Right.
Was the affair with JFK confirmed or rumored?
Mm. I don't know. We'll have to.
Because I thought that I remembered that it was rumored the reason that she was maybe murdered was because of an affair with JFK.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But I could be making that up.
I've heard that too, so I don't think you're making it up.
Okay. Look at that. I got a pop culture thing correct. I feel like I should get a gold star for that or something. That's like, that never happens.
So, an employee of the Roosevelt Hotel was dusting the mirror it's hanging in the manager's office of the Roosevelt Hotel. So he's dusting the mirror, and then he saw a sad blonde woman, and he turned around to talk to her, but then no one was there. And when he looked back in the mirror, Marilyn Monroe was still in the mirror.
Hmm.
Then there was this journalist, Allison Stevenson, who wrote this article called Talking to Marilyn Monroe's Spirit Over Some Cocktails. And what Allison did is she contacted a medium named A.J. Barrera, and he met her at the Roosevelt Hotel. They got drinks, and then A.J. starts to, like, speak with Marilyn Monroe. And apparently Marilyn says she takes responsibility over her death.
Okay, he speaks as in only he can hear her.
Yes.
Okay.
She's not sorry. I guess she's not sorry for possibly killing herself, but is sorry for the way that she left things. And that she doesn't want to talk about her career and fame and beauty, but she wants to talk about what that did to her, which I thought sounded really sad.
I think that, like many people who have kind of, like, rocket into fame.
Yeah.
There's probably some truth to that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that that particular message.
It's pretty vague and.
Yeah, I think you could guess that about
any
young person. I just looked up the Roosevelt Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it used to be like, but it sounds pretty sweet now.
Yeah.
It says it's a Spanish colonial revival style Hollywood boutique hotel. Mm-hmm. Guests walk into a two-story lobby decorated in rich Spanish style featuring hand-painted beams. Offers a wonderful mix of historical features, cutting-edge amenities that come sometimes with an extra fee. Perks can include babysitting, in-room Wi-Fi. Okay, everybody has Wi-Fi. Like, the Super 8 has Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Cook-to-order breakfast. Water. What?
Water?
Water?
I guess in L.A. that's not very...
Okay, I think water... I think somebody needs to do some content revision here.
Yeah.
In-room honor bar, which means you pay you're paying for that shit.
Yeah.
Snacks, fitness center massages, and body treatments, dry cleaning, laundry, safe deposit box, and many more.
It sounds like a jewelry.
Hotels always have a safe deposit box. Whenever you go, put the least valuable item you own in the safe deposit box. Just so you can see it.
Just for fun.
Just for funsies. Be like, I have this $15 Casio watch. Can I put this in your safe deposit box?
That's awesome.
I just think it's really weird that they have them. Sometimes they're in the room. Right. Like, they'll have them in the closet. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you set the code yourself.
Yeah.
But some larger hotels have. The hotel I worked at definitely had it at the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I only ever had one whole person ask to use it. And I didn't get to see what they snuck in there. I was really, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if you work at a bank and people put their stuff in the box, it's always very dramatic in movies.
Yeah.
They always put super secret stuff in there.
Yeah.
I'd be in there after hours snooping my ass off. Yeah. It'd be just like when I go to the doctor's office and look in all the cabinets.
Yeah.
So, sidebar,
mm-hmm.
we can blame it on the cold medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But for the listeners that don't know, I am the world's nosiest patient on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything medical.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very strict look, don't touch policy.
Yeah.
Most of the time. If you leave me in there long enough, I start touching.
Yeah.
But mostly it's like the otoscope, the thing that you look in your ears and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's a flashlight. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do to it?
Mm-hmm.
And I have posted pictures so many times of me peeking in drawers that now my friends post pictures on my Facebook of them peeking in drawers at the doctor's office.
I still haven't been brave enough to do that.
I get bored, and I tell them myself,
mm-hmm.
as soon as they come in, I was like, I got bored, I looked through all your drawers. And they usually just laugh. Yeah. I mean, if it's not locked, there's nothing valuable in there. It's usually pee cups and Q-tips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That one drawer, though, was such a disappointment. It was at my ENT, and it was marked cauliflower ear, and I was like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what's in here. I thought there was going to be, like, huge syringes or something, and it was totally a junk drawer.
Yeah.
It had, like,
that's funny.
Giveaway pads from the prescription pharma, from, like, pharma reps and, like, two big pens. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be my best Facebook photo ever.
Yeah.
And someone took the time to use a label machine and label it cauliflower ear.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, fair warning to all my doctors who already know anyway, but if it's not locked, I totally peep.
Nice.
My GP never leaves me in there long enough to snoop. He's too good at his job, but he does hug me and wear bow ties. He's awesome.
Oh, that's nice.
He's really cute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Okay, anyway, next, carry on.
We're going to talk about John Lennon. So, John Lennon was murdered by a deranged fan, Mark Chapman, in 1980 at the age of 40 at the Dakota Building in New York City.
It was outside, correct? Like when he was leaving the building?
Yep. Fun fact, not so fun fact, John Lennon predicted his own death.
Ooh, that's kind of not great.
Yeah, I read some article that had a lot of different references to, like, people saying, like, his secretary saying that he would talk about it a lot, being, like, saying, like, yeah, I'm not going to be here past the age of 40, and talking about how he was going to die young all the time. And
he also did a lot of drugs, though.
Yeah, I think, but he also referenced in a couple interviews, like, oh, I'm probably going to get shot by somebody. And I think he even says, like, oh, I'm going to get offed by, or popped by some loony. I think that was a quote
he said. I wonder if he got deranged fan mail that he didn't share.
And he also wrote a song that wasn't released. It was released posthumously. And I think it was called Borrowed Time. And a lot of his fans think that it's talking about dying young.
Hmm.
And also, his son, after John Lennon died, his son Julian Lennon was shooting a film in Australia. He was taking a part in this Aboriginal ceremony, and the tribe elder handed him a white feather. And before John Lennon died, actually pretty close to when he died, John Lennon told Julian, if anything ever happens to me, look for a white feather and you will know I am there for you, always looking out for you.
Aww.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, that is nice.
And then,
his son had, he did some music for a minute.
Oh, yeah, he's still doing music.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was just on Saturday Night Live with, Miley Cyrus, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who, Miley, not a fan of her pop music, but huge fan of her voice.
Yeah, she and Julian, I think it was the Christmas episode this year that they sang that Christmas song that John Lennon did. I can't think of it right now.
I'm drawing a blank. I've always been a Paul kind of gal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm more of a Paul than a John. It's the Yoko Ono thing. Oh, I find her profoundly annoying. I cannot deal with Yoko Ono. And so my love for
Happy Christmas War is over.
Yeah, I have respect for him as an artist, of course, and mm-hmm. enjoy his music, but
yeah.
I just Yoko. No.
I mean, that Christmas song is way better than the Paul McCartney Christmas song.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, we don't have to get into that. But speaking of Paul McCartney, him and Ringo and George were posing for a photograph after recording the 1995 Beatles single Free as a Bird. 1995? Was that really?
They had a release.
That's crazy.
I don't know when. I know there was a release of One was the name of the album. I don't know when that was released.
Mm-hmm.
That it might have been on that. Because I definitely had that one. I'm horrible with dates, though, so I could be completely botching that.
Yeah.
Well, we'd have to look at the album history.
Just say 1995. Okay. All right. I believe you.
Was I right about the album title?
Oh, I don't know. I was looking up just the song.
Okay.
I was saying I believe you to Google.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I think it might have been One. It had a red cover. I owned the CD and listened to it many, many times. I mean, the catalog of Beatles songs is ginormous, and a lot of them...
Oh, this was actually a song originally composed and recorded in 1977 by John Lennon. And in 1995, a studio version of the recording incorporating contributions from Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr was released as a single by the Beatles.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like it wasn't on any album. Oh, the single was released as part of the promotion for the Beatles anthology video documentary and the band's Anthology 1 compilation album. So, yeah.
Check it out.
Nice. 2 gold stars.
Like, 2 pop culture things in one episode?
Yep.
I don't know. Everybody take a drink. This is like...
Yeah.
This is unheard of.
Cheers.
Maybe I should take that cold medicine more often.
Yeah. It's like pulling something out of you.
I dropped one on the floor at work.
Mm-hmm.
Never did find it.
Just disappeared into the alternate
Yeah, so I'm
dimension.
Only on like half a dose. I looked and looked and it just, I don't know where it went. I'll find it someday.
Yep. So, all right. So Paul, Ringo, George, they're posing for a photograph after recording the 1995 Beatles single Free as a Bird. And a white peacock wandered into the shot.
I just learned about white peacocks not that long ago. They are pretty spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they're albino. I think they're just white.
Huh. I didn't know that.
They come in many different colors. Also, not the nicest birds.
No, they're mean and they're annoying. Their squawks are really... they sound like babies crying.
They are really something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have been on farms before where people had peacocks. And you're like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's the peacocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think Paul took the white peacock as a sign of John.
I think that's fair, and it's feathered.
Yeah, they also added a bit of backwards talking at the end of that single, and they said it was to mess with the conspiracy theorists and their fandom. But when they played it back, it sounded like it was saying John Lennon, and so Paul McCartney was like, oh, I think that was John approving of the track, which I think is kind of sweet, too.
That is kind of sweet. I thought Ozzy Osbourne was the one who was like, well, because he always got associated with doing things that were of the devil, when really he was just like stoned.
Yeah.
I don't think that he has a devil worshipping bone in his body. I think he's just...
I think he fronts as it, but...
Well, yeah, the whole like biting the heads off of bats, which I don't know. Were they even real? Who knows? Probably not.
I think they were. I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess we can look it up.
Sharon orchestrated the whole thing, I'm sure. A weird pairing. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a big Sharon fan. I think she's kind of whatever. But he's just wasted all the time. I don't think he's a devil worshiper. Mm-hmm. I think he's just high.
Well, and speaking of women that you don't really like, Yoko Ono lived in the Dakota building for 20 years after John died. It's the same place that they'd lived, you know, for a while. And
where they were living when he was killed.
Yes. She saw him at his piano, and he said to her, "Don't be afraid, I'm still with you."
I don't know what he saw in her. I don't get it.
I like her.
No, not a fan. We've discussed Rocky Raccoon and how she totally ruined it for me because she's squawking in the background like a peacock.
Like a white peacock?
Oh my God, it's the worst.
And then Liam Gallagher of the band Oasis said that he had an out-of-body experience where he claimed John Lennon was present for it.
I think he's full of shit.
All right.
I'm just putting it out All there. Right. I think he's full of shit.
All right, so let's move on to Elvis Presley, our favorite.
Yes, and I've told you the family Elvis Presley claim to fame, right? Because my mom's family's from Memphis.
No, I don't think so.
I haven't told you this story.
No.
It's so not that impressive. But if you're from Memphis, you have to have an Elvis story. It's like a rule.
Right.
Right. You have to have some kind of brush with the Presley family.
We do have a listener in Memphis. Hi, Stephen Michael Black. I shouted you out on the last episode, maybe. No, the Superstitions episode.
What's up? Shout out. Are you a Memphian? If you're from Memphis? Okay. Anyway, so at the end of my mom's family moved around some, which we discussed in the Storytime with Pammy episode. But their kind of final settlement was in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the kids finished high school in Memphis or started college there. Nobody finished. But I think they all either finished high school or started college there. My grandfather was a bit of a wheeler dealer, and at one point he owned a carpet cleaning business.
Mm-hmm.
And Graceland is not a particularly large house for someone of his wealth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's a big ass house. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. When I went and visited it, my first thought was, this is it.
Yeah. It's not that big. I mean, mm-hmm. compared to what you see now for celebrities, it's underwhelming.
Yeah.
The kitchen was carpeted, which is just disgusting. But one of my aunts, I don't recall which one, and my grandfather went and cleaned the carpet in Elvis's kitchen.
Oh.
That's the family Elvis story. I mean, nice. how much more blue-collar awesomeness can you get?
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. My mom's family was very, like, that house looked like the house from Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super suburbs.
Yeah.
They had the formal dining room and living room mm-hmm. that you could kind of smell the dust in because nobody ever, ever went in there.
Yeah.
Nobody, I don't ever recall sitting in any of those rooms.
Yeah.
They might as well have just had red velvet ropes. I would sit at the piano in the formal living room every once in a while.
Yeah.
And not play music because I don't actually know how to play the piano.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the big family claim to fame. My people shampooed the rug in Elvis's kitchen.
Nice.
How much, I mean, autographs later if you want them.
I was born on Elvis's birthday.
I think that's almost as cool. Close.
All right, so speaking of Graceland, people say that when they go into the house, they feel a buzz or a vibe, and especially in that kitchen.
I will have to inquire with the ants.
Yeah. Well, did they clean it while he was alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe they
I went there and the only thing I could think was how overstimulated I was by the amount of shag carpeting.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I was like, there's a lot
That's
of
a really tacky
texture
house.
Going on here.
Yeah.
And I was doing the audio tour.
Yeah.
I thought, I don't give a shit about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elvis fans are hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, crying at the grave outside.
Yeah.
This is a very, a crowd with a really unusual sort of energy about them.
Right.
So I think the buzz is just the weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
It's the super fans.
And people also say that they see him peering through windows. Creepy.
Okay.
And get this. Actress Paz de la Huerta says his ghost made her orgasm with ectoplasmic touching when she visited the recording studio at Graceland.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Come on.
I thought you might say that.
I think that's somebody with a very active imagination and possibly a pocket vibrator.
He's also been seen in Vegas. He's been seen driving around the strip. But there are many Elvises in Vegas, so who knows?
Yeah, that's not... I mean, he can also marry you and probably deliver your mail and do all kinds of stuff in Vegas.
At the Las Vegas Hilton, in the nightclub... He's been seen in the nightclub where he did his final performance. He's also been seen in the penthouse where he stayed a lot when he performed there. He's also been seen in the basement where he liked to hang out with the musicians before and after the show. And he's also been seen in the freight elevator because that's where he would hide from his fans. Wayne Newton says that he saw him looking down on him during a performance at the Las Vegas Hilton.
Interesting. I'm texting my aunts right now.
Okay.
And we'll see if we get a reply before we're done recording to see which one of them gets the credit for
cleaning the carpet,
shampooing the carpet. So I'm saying, question, which one of you, don't you love a random text? Like, we don't communicate very often. Mm-hmm. Just a random text. Which one of you shampooed Elvis' possessive kitchen carpet? Okay.
He's also been seen at the Knickerbocker Hotel in Hollywood, where he stayed a lot, and in the RCA studio in Nashville, where he recorded his first hit single. Elvis's ghost gets around.
That's what I'm saying. He's got a lot of free time.
If you mention his name in the RCA studio, lights will blow out, ladders will fall, and mysterious noises and bangs will occur.
Hmm.
And I love, okay, this next story is really great. I love it. So there was this teenager named Tony who was obsessed with Elvis, and he ran away from home with $2,000 to make it as an actor in LA.
Like you do.
His father was named Harold Welch, and he was a police officer, and he was worried about his son, like you do. And, Elvis appeared to... his father, Harold, dressed as a police officer. And in his life, Elvis liked to collect police badges.
Yeah, I was going to say he, like, got somebody to deputize him or something at one point.
Elvis told Harold he was also worried about Tony. And he told him that Tony was running with a bad crowd and doing drugs. And he told his father where Tony was staying with, like, a detailed description. So Harold rented a car and went to go find him, and he was exactly where Elvis said he was. And Harold never told anyone how he found Tony until years later, and Tony had said that Elvis was coming to him in his dreams, and Elvis told him his father was coming to get him. Isn't that weird?
Hmm.
He just picks a random teenager to help out every once in a while.
Okay, so Aunt Number One has replied.
Uh-huh.
So Aunt Number One says, no one that I know of. I did eat breakfast with his father in the dining room of the Elvis house.
What?
And then my mom, she just chimed in and said, I think it was Sandy.
Who was the Aunt Number One?
So Aunt Number One's Diane.
Oh.
So she had breakfast with Elvis's dad at the at Graceland.
Why?
I have no idea. She doesn't say.
Can you ask her to elaborate?
Yeah, sure. The whole family's just shrouded in mystery and miscommunications.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if this is just family lore.
Yeah.
And Sandy chimes in as like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
There's two more sisters to go. So
okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. But she had breakfast with Elvis's dad, which is actually cooler than cleaning the carpet.
Yeah, that
so
is cooler.
It's actually, and my mom says they had cleaned the carpet so many times, it was full of soap.
What?
Like, residual soap.
Oh.
Because it was a kitchen, so it had to be cleaned a lot.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if they had tried to do it themselves or what.
Right.
So, my mother seems to have the intel on this one. I don't know where Diane was when this was. I guess she was having breakfast with Elvis's dad.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So, next ghost, Amy Winehouse.
Ooh, poor little tortured soul.
Yeah, she died of alcohol poisoning in her London home at age 27.
I loved her, but good God, she was a hot mess.
Yeah. So, her dad, Mitch Winehouse, claims that Amy comes and visits him in the form of a black bird, which she had tattooed on her arm. A week after she died, he was at his sister's house, and a black bird flew into the window, hit the window, and it was at night, which is strange. Like,
birds don't do a lot of flying at night. They tend to kind of stay
roosted.
I guess some birds of prey do night hunting, maybe, but
like owls and shit, but not like a blackbird.
No, not your crow, raven. I think they, that's nap time.
So he went outside and put the bird on a perch, and it came back and sat on his foot. It's kind of cute.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Did it have a little beehive?
Yeah, probably.
How much stuff do you think was in that hair? So, you know...
Birds.
Don't make me laugh so hard, because it's going to make me die. I already laid on the basement floor once this week. I can't do it again.
Can't do it again. Especially because we still haven't cleaned it.
I know. My saliva's still over there. If you need my DNA, it's approximately like...
Yeah.
It's like a combination of slobber and spit, probably right about over there.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably come over with my Swiffer or something. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Amy's hair. The only beehive I've ever seen that is that spectacular is the lady at World's Fair Donuts.
Yeah. You've talked about her on the podcast before, I believe.
I want to know what's inside there.
Mm-hmm. Secrets.
Maybe that's where the recipes for their delicious donuts are.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got a box in there and that's why it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost Marge Simpson-esque.
That's amazing.
It's pretty impressive. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh. We need to fix that. It's not even a mile away from here.
I know. I'm not a huge fan of donuts.
Who cares?
And B, I go to the Chippewa donut shop.
Okay. Their donuts are better. But that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just an experience.
This is about the experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's not going to live forever. She's getting up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get while the getting's good. We're going for donuts.
All right. So Jim Morrison.
Not a shocker that he's on this list.
He died in Paris in 1971 of a drug overdose or a heart attack related to a drug overdose. And in 1997, a rock historian, Brett Meisner, got his photo taken next to Jim Morrison's grave in Paris.
What's the difference between a heart attack from an overdose or an overdose? Nothing.
Well, I mean, I would think that it's just a technicality.
I mean, if you have an overdose, your organs shut down in some way or another, so...
Yeah, but I think, like, you know, it's just a technicality. It doesn't really make a difference which he died of.
He took a fuck ton of drugs and died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe his heart gave out first.
Maybe. Maybe okay. He had a heart attack and died, and the heart attack was caused by the drugs. Anyway, maybe the drugs wouldn't have killed him if he didn't have a heart attack. Who knows? It doesn't matter, because Brett Meisner, he got his photo taken next to the Jim Morrison's grave, and experts have deemed this photograph authentic. Let me show it to you. It looks like, so it's just this dude standing next to a grave, and if you look past the gravestone behind him, you can see like a figure. This is a side-by-side shot, one where it's zoomed out and one where it's zoomed in. Oh, look at
that. That totally is like a classic Jim Morrison stance, too.
Yeah, it looks like a very thin white guy, either with his shirt off or with like a white shirt on. And he looks like he's got his arms like in a T formation, kind of cockeyed, like he's kind of balancing. And, you know, Jim Morrison would do this like high wire routine on the edge of the stage where he would walk really close to the edge of the stage with his arms out, trying to balance.
Okay, Skeptic Cat.
Sure.
As a photographer, I've studied shadows.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
To me, that just as easily looks like a combination of shadows and light cast from nearby trees.
Could be.
I don't think that's a ghost. I think that's a coincidence.
The arm is like...
I think it's just a break in the branches of a tree.
Could be.
I think that it's a coincidence that it's kind of loosely person-shaped at the top.
Well, we'll let our listeners decide. I'll post it on the meeting minutes.
I mean, then what are those, like, demonic eyeballs in the middle?
Oh, no, I don't know. That seems like his head, right? And his torso and legs.
So you know how there's that...
Look, there looks like feet there, too.
If his feet were duck feet...
But no, there's like a... He's like standing with his foot to the side.
I'm telling you, those are just some... That's some random-ass shadows.
But take your skeptic hat off.
It does potentially look like it could, it's got that Jim Morrison-esque sort of, he had kind of a Jesus pose thing going on he was like crucified Jesus with the outstretched arms where he would cross his feet at his ankles, like he was on a tight wire. So he, and his hips were always kind of, it would, because his ankle, feet were crossed, it would tilt one hip up.
And
that was his, like, I'm a sexy man pose. Yeah. Like, then he would gyrate at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And he was legit sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time listening to The Doors in my youth. My friend Bobby, with an I, up the street, she was a huge fan. If I never hear the song This Is the End ever again, it'll be too soon. World's longest song ever. I think it's... Oh, we have a live update.
Oh.
From the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So...
Breaking
news from the sisters. Okay, so my mom says Diane worked for a design firm that was owned by the mother of the girl... They made a film about, she adopted the kid who became a football player.
None of those words mean anything to me.
That's that movie where the woman adopted the kid who became a famous football player. She's topic Sandra jumping. Bullock. Yeah, she's topic jumping. So then Diane chimes in. I was working for Virginia Roberts, a local interior designer, when Mr. Presley... Senior, I'm guessing, called and asked us to bid on redecorating Graceland. We met him at the mansion, had breakfast in the dining room, and he took us on a tour of the house. As I was walking out the front door, A group of tourists took my picture and asked who I was. Somewhere in the world, I am in someone's photo album.
That's really cool.
And then she says, Virginia Roberts is Leanne Toohey's mother. The movie Blindside, starring Sandra Bullock, was about Leanne. Leanne was your Aunt Kim's best friend when we were growing up in Memphis.
Well, that's another claim to fame, huh?
Oh, yeah. Check it out. And my mom says, are you doing a podcast on Elvis?
She's very intuitive.
Uh-huh. And then my Aunt Diane says, more Elvis stories available upon request. And my mom says, I have some too. Okay, I'm going to say, bring it on, ladies. So the youngest of the four sisters is a newscaster, mm-hmm. and she's on the East Coast. And she may actually already be in bed because she has to get up at some absurd hour, like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. because she does the morning news. Tomorrow. Yeah, we may have like next episode updates from her.
Sure.
But I don't know where Sandy, who my mom's the, so it's Pam.
Right.
Pamela Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Sue. They were all after my grandmother's dolls, which I think is super creepy.
That's weird.
Okay, Pamela Kay, Sandra Sue, Lynn Diane, Kimberly Jean.
Wow.
Okay, so the oldest and third in line have replied.
Yeah.
And Diane says she's opening the floodgates. So my phone's about to explode. Might be a whole episode of its own.
So,
I'm telling you, if you live in Memphis, this is like, they're obsessed.
All right, Stephen Michael Black, if you have an Elvis story, write it to us. Thank you. Love you, mean it.
I don't know who you are, but I love you too.
Brett, the guy that was in the picture, he says his life has been plagued by bad luck since the photo was taken. He got a divorce and his friend died of an overdose.
Maybe he was a shitty husband. I don't know.
I mean, he was like, you know, he was a rock historian, so that doesn't seem too far-fetched.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
Like
connecting some dots that like, well, okay. And with the picture, and I can't think of what the name of the phenomenon is,
pareidolia.
How do you know what I'm going to say? Do you have...
Because I was thinking of it earlier. Like, humans' tendency to look for faces and human-like features in inanimate objects.
Yes, but also...
You looked really offended when I said the word.
No, I wasn't offended. I was just like, how do you know what I'm going to say?
Because I'm psychic.
I know. You've been working on your... ESP. No, there's another thing that I can't think of where your brain will sort of connect dots.
Mm-hmm.
So back in my photo editing days when that was like, this was before Photoshop, kids. Huh, I know. So if you had an actual printed photograph,
mm-hmm.
I know it's a totally radical idea,
mm-hmm.
and it needed to be retouched. When you did the retouching, you wouldn't put a blob of paint to cover up a zit. You would make a series of dots that were very near each other,
mm-hmm.
but your eye fills it in so it looks covered even though it's really not.
Huh.
So your brain like fills in gaps.
Yeah.
It just sort of like it wants to complete a pattern, or it wants to complete something so you can make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it's actually there.
Right.
So hot tip, if you need to touch up a piece of artwork because your kid scratched it, or mm-hmm. you need to touch up a scuff on your shoe, you don't want to put a blob of paint on there. You want to put small dots to fill it in, and it will look filled in even though it's not completely full.
That's wild.
Yeah, and I don't remember what that's called. It's a thing.
Okay.
Somebody tell us, because I can't Google it. I don't know what the search terms would be.
Right. Yeah. All right. Liberace.
Ooh.
He died of pneumonia in Palm Springs in 1987. In 2013, a fan named Martin Ravenhill bought his mansion and restored it, and he installed security cameras. He caught a video of the two massive wooden doors blowing open, and it caused the alarms to go off, so security personnel came, and they discovered that the deadbolts were still extended and the locks were fully engaged. So something had blown these doors open, and it said they said the house was empty and there were no signs of forced entry other than this door, like, blowing open. Pretty wild. Yeah. So that's all the celebrity ghost gossip I have for you. You got some updates?
Yeah, let's see if we got anything. Okay. This will be our last one. This is a submission from my mother. Mm-hmm. More story time with Pammy.
Awesome.
The man who owned Sun Records, which was Elvis's label, I believe.
Yeah.
Belonged to the church where your dad and I got married. He brought Elvis to church and got his car stuck in the unpaved parking lot. Elvis sent a check the next week so they could pay for the parking lot to be paved.
Oh my God.
So he's just kind of a stand-up guy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe...
It wasn't his recording company. It was the first company to record Elvis.
My mom says...
owned by Sam Phillips.
That's what my mom just said. Oh, she said Sam Phillips owned Sun Records. Kim, the youngest sister, was once a DJ there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, before she was on TV, she was a DJ.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said a really cool career.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous, so you would think she would have started in TV.
Right.
She's like, I don't know. I don't even know how old she is now.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like Dick Clark. She doesn't age. She looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks phenomenal, but she also exercises like a maniac and like eats a really strict diet and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All those things I'm unwilling to do.
Right.
So, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she started in radio and she's been, she was an anchor in Alaska for a while and, but she's been on the East Coast for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
That's cool. But she has to get up at like 3 to do the morning news.
Yeah, I bet.
So her bedtime is what? Subtract 8 hours from 3. What's that?
And I don't
she has
know,
to go to bed at like 5 or something. Something crazy.
Yeah, that's awful.
For real, I think it's like 8.
Yeah.
So she's probably already in bed. I don't know about the other sister. She's just away from her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I just got a tome. Diane says, I'm telling you, Memphis people love Elvis. One of your grandmother's best friends was Becky Phillips. Becky was Sam Phillips' wife.
Oh.
Sam owned Sun Studios in Memphis and recorded Elvis's first and most of his hits. He also discovered Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, which you're wearing a Johnny Cash sweatshirt.
I know.
And Jerry Lee Lewis, who married his cousin. Yuck.
Yep.
That was my addition, not my aunt's.
Right.
The Phillips family were members of our church. Becky and Sam's son, Knox Phillips, was her Sunday school teacher. Oh. So her Sunday school teacher's dad owned, what was it, Sun Records.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis is like St. Louis. It's Memphis, you've been to Memphis, right?
Yeah. I went to Graceland many years ago.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned going to Graceland.
I went to Beale Street. That's all I think that's all I saw. I went to Coyote Ugly Bar on Beale Street.
Memphis is pretty small.
Yeah. It's cute.
Not that, like, compared to St. Louis, which is, I would say, like, a medium-ish size city, medium to small size city.
Yeah.
It's definitely smaller.
Yeah. Also on this topic, the last show that I worked on at the Rep was Million Dollar Quartet, which was a play or a musical about Sun Records, Sam Phillips, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley when they all got together and recorded some music together. That's all I remember.
My mom would have loved that.
Yeah.
How was Avenue Q?
It's good. It opens tomorrow as the, you know, on this day that we're recording, but it will have opened on Friday as the listeners are listening. And it's going really good.
Oh, you owe me a picture of a puppet done. Fetish vest.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Did I say that I was going to post that last episode?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, sorry, listeners.
Yeah. I meant to take a picture of it because I put studs on it. I have a picture of it without studs, but...
What, can you please describe this puppet for me? Like, I'm envisioning Grover in a fetish vest.
It looks more like Ernie, but green. And it's he's got like a jean jacket on with a leather, it's not leather. It's, like a vinyl that kind of looks like latex, like black latex vest on. And I put little square studs on it. It's so cute.
Did you use a bedazzler?
No, it's like, it's those studs that you just poke through and then bend the prongs down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I should say about Avenue Q, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have discounted tickets. And if you guys want to see it, like message me, text me, or message me on Facebook or something, and I'll give you a coupon code for $10 off.
Okay. Last update.
Okay.
From the ants who have officially started to blow up my phone. I may have to silence it.
Yeah.
Kim didn't DJ at Sun. She worked at two other stations, though. Don't think Sam Phillips owned them. Think they were owned by Dr. Flynn. No idea who that is. But she did work for Rick Dees, who got famous for Disco Duck in the 70s. I have no idea what that is anymore.
Me neither.
Disco Duck. That sounds really familiar. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Now they're arguing about which studios might, where she DJ'd. So I guess we'll have to wait for her to chime in.
We've started a family feud.
Yeah, now they're fighting about where she actually worked. Oh boy. Four sisters, they're going to go at it via text. It's going to be a brawl. I didn't know. I didn't know the Pandora's box I was opening. And, I mean, such a hotly debated topic, family Elvis claims to fame.
Right.
This is serious business. This is almost like talking about the Bible with your family.
Yeah.
If they're from Memphis.
Well, we'll await the exciting conclusion next week.
There could be like 95 screenshots on the blog. So I did want to mention that we have a sponsor for the show for a bit. A Happy Little Craft Show is a spring indie craft show that's coming up. It's on Saturday, March 9th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Webster University. Lots of amazing indie craft vendors, food trucks, all kinds of good stuff. And you can find out more about it on Facebook. That's all I can think of right now because cold medicine. Anyway, so thanks for sponsoring us. We love you. And you know what? We love creepy stuff, but we like to be happy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be happy and creepy. You don't have to be all like sad. Do you remember that? I think it was a blog. It was like Goths in the Sun that used to crack me up so hard.
That's funny.
Be like in all black, looking super sad on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what? That one? Mm-mm. Oh, God. I have so many things to look up for these notes. And Disco Duck will be in the show notes for sure, because this is an experience.
Everyone needs to have.
Well, and you may need to see your therapist afterwards, but you should at least take a gander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank Brandon Lee Chilcote for our wonderful intro and outro music. And if you have any personal stories about Elvis or Disco Duck, or if you've seen any celebrity ghosts, or have just some, I don't know, other weird stories.
Ants that like to argue about other ants that aren't present and where they had jobs.
Yeah. Let us know. You can tweet us at creepyclubpod, or you can email us at creepyclubpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you know me personally, you can just text me. Come on. I mean, whatever. If you want to like us on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/creepyclubpodcast. You can follow us on Instagram at creepyclubpodcast. You can follow me at creepyclubrissa. You can follow Heidi at creepyclubheidi. We will put up all of our notes and sources and all these wonderful, amazing links that you're going to want to look at on creepyclubpodcast.com. Just look for the meeting minutes for this episode. And like we said in the top, please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We would love it. And we'll read your review on the air. And you'll be like kind of famous. It'll be great.
Maybe not as famous as Elvis.
Maybe.
Maybe as famous as Elvis's ghost.
Yeah, who knows?
Or you could end up in one of my family stories.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You could. Thank you so, so much for listening to this episode. And we hope that you join us next time. Meeting adjourned.